Called almost immediately by the refusal of the United Nations to allow them to allow the police to talk to the people who had interviewed the UN staff who had interviewed the children and could give them more information about their whereabouts and about the soldiers. Then there was a long period of silence when no one appears to have done anything. And once AIDS Free World exposed this to the media. And that was only on April 29th, 2015. Then things kicked into gear, and the French have now taken up their investigation again in earnest.
Paula Donovan, we only have about 2 minutes to go. You're leading a campaign to get rid of immunity in the United Nations around sexual abuse and exploitation. Explain how the UN shields its own members from due process when they are accused of sexual assault.
Under an ancient convention from 1946, the UN staff are all protected from being involved in any sort of legal process. So whether they're witnesses, whether they have evidence, whether they're the perpetrators themselves, if it has to do with sexual exploitation and abuse, then the Secretary General has to, on a case-by-case basis, decide to waive their immunity and allow them to be subject to what the rest of the world is subject to, called in to testify, cooperating with a criminal investigation, or actually arrested in the case of perpetrators. And this just infects the entire UN system, and the way they deal with sexual exploitation and abuse is such a sham that we're essentially saying it needs an external, independent investigation from top to bottom.
So what do you think the UN, what kinds of internal changes are you calling for within the UN so that these allegations can be dealt with in a better way in the future?
I think right. So as the Central African Republic case shows, the serious member states of the United Nations have to take hold of things, and they need to move in and figure out when an allegation of sexual abuse is first brought to light. What are the mandated protocols? How do we respond? And then what do the various agencies and institutions within the entities within the UN have to do? Should UNICEF, and my answer is absolutely yes, should they have to move in immediately to protect children from further abuse? The whole UN needs to be looked at from top to bottom by an external commission.
Paula Donovan, thanks so much for being with us, co-director of AIDS Free World, which has launched the Code Blue campaign seeking to end sexual exploitation and abuse by UN military and non-military peacekeeping personnel. That does it for our show. Our website's democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Dearborn, WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves. And now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another show. This is the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Happy to have you listening to us today. Yes, sirree, it's a great day in Dearborn, and we're going to have a great show, of course. I was able to get out and about this morning, a little pressed for time, but I was able to get to the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market took a look around there. A lot of great stuff to choose from. I was interested. There was at least, I think, three vendors of honey this time. You know, it's different every week. That's why you got to go back every week and check things out. There was a tent that had things that children could play with or creative arts, like coloring and so on, called Cricket. I wonder if that's any connection with the children's magazine Cricket that I remember from a long time ago. In any event, there was also a food truck there. Had a variety of different kinds of pitas, and I read the menu, and I was all ready to order one. He said, "Oh, got to wait half an hour." So just so you know, that was about 11:15. So I guess you can't expect the pita truck unless they were just falling behind this morning. They got a slow start somewhere to be set up before 11:45, 12 noon. But they had a lot of great choices and not too expensive. Also, there was a Good Humor ice cream truck there. And official Good Humor, for those of us that remember, 60 years ago, in Detroit, there used to be Good Humor only ice cream trucks with the distinctive logo and the name Good Humor on them and so on. And by the way, it was spelled in the British way, humor, okay, H-U-M-U-O-R. And it was always delicious stuff. And then they started distributing in the grocery stores and so on. But this was a pretty big logo name, Good Humor. So maybe they sold some other things too. But a little ice cream treat there. And so I had no other choice but to go and get some quickie lunch carryout from Buddy's Pizza, which is right there. So we're talking about the location, which is the same place it's been for quite a few years now, the Dearborn Farmers and Artisans Market. And it is in the Bryant Library parking lot, which is accessible from just the street parallel to Michigan Avenue, one street back. And right next to Buddy's Pizza, of course, right behind Buddy's Pizza, if you will. Don't park in Buddy's Pizza lot. That's actually kind of closed off, hard to get to that little lot of theirs because of the activities of the market. And they want an area where people can walk across to the vendors without being hit by a car or something, to the vendors that are just immediately west of the Bryant Library. So it stretches all the way from the front of the Bryant Library all the way back into the Bryant Library parking lot. Remember, all the parking at the major lots near this location, anyway, are free now, thanks to the city of Dearborn reversing its policy of many years, which caused a lot of businesses, I think, to close or not to even come in that area for being afraid that, people wouldn't show up that much, especially if they just wanted to get something quick and leave, and then they have to hassle with the parking lot thing. So the gates are up. The meters where there are in these lots are covered, which means they're not being used. And, I would suggest trying the Bryant Library parking lot itself. That is the public Bryant Library lot. There's a little teeny lot for people that are just dropping off books and getting back. That's just a little alleyway just immediately north of the Bryant Library. Don't use that for shopping, okay? That's just for people that got to get into the library fast and get out. There's only like five or six spots there for cars anyway. But try the Bryant Library parking lot. The gate's up. I drove past there once circled around, and I could have gotten in there because I saw a couple of spots were available. I turned just because I didn't want to hassle with, driving in and not having a spot since I was running a little late. I parked just the next big parking lot down, which is really close too. So check that out every Friday. Remember, it's co-sponsored by a lot of local businesses, nonprofits such as Oakwood Hospital, soon to be Beaumont Hospital, Oakwood Campus. I think they're going to call the big facility in Dearborn at the end of June. But nonetheless, they're a sponsor along with Henry Ford College and a couple of others. So we hope to be out there with the new WHFR Journal and many of us from the station for, at least from 10 to 2, sometime in the next couple of weeks. We don't have a date yet, but we'll get back to you on that. Maybe you can come out and see us in person. And going to have a few special guests staggered throughout the day. I hope they won't be staggering in, but not just during the 1 to 2 o'clock show. But that'll be the big one. That'll be straight through 1 to 2 o'clock, and hopefully the weather will be good and allow that. It's certainly a great endeavor on the part of the Chamber of Commerce and City of Dearborn to allow that market to be there and to function. And there were a lot of great choices, even some flowers left over. I just didn't have time for that. I was kind of surprised, though, I have to say. I did not see anyone offering bread, all of the big bread vendors. And there used to be three of them, which is kind of overkill for that area. But I know some of them, like Avalon, they're now being carried by local Dearborn grocery stores. Traffic Jam people also make great bread, and they weren't there today either. So it does vary from week to week. Sometimes they have a conflict, and they have to take their stand somewhere else for that day. Nonetheless, check it out. That's Dearborn's Farmers and Artists Market. They have a website, but it's long. Dearborn Farmers, plural, Artists, no word and in there, plural, Artists, Market.com. Yeah, I think there's a link on cityofdearborn.org website if you want to check out what's happening there. Get on their email list, because that way, every Tuesday or Wednesday, they'll send you an email and let you know what special things are happening and what's in season and so on at the market. Well, we're speaking of food, so let's mention the return of Yalla Eat. Guided walking tours explore Arab American history in Eastern Market. I'm reading from the press release from the Arab American National Museum, or the folks who organize it. So who's hungry for history? The Arab American National Museum says Yalla, which is Arabic for let's go, eat, which is not Arabic for anything, but I think we know what eat is, yes. So it's called Yalla Eat, and it's called the Yalla Eat Culinary Walking Tours. And they say it's an immersive cultural experience. They were very popular last year, and now they're being offered again on Tuesdays and Saturdays from May 30th, that's tomorrow, they start up again, to June 13th, 2015. Those who register online for these spring tours of the Eastern Market will hear the story of Arab Americans in Metro Detroit while exploring the long history of Arab merchants in and around Eastern Market. Participants will visit diverse Arab and Middle Eastern businesses, all founded by immigrants and family-run, meet and talk with the owners, enjoy free samples, and do some old-school shopping. It says our tour participants will visit businesses that, taken together, sell all of the ingredients of a typical Arab-American meal, from olives, cheese, and cucumbers as an appetizer, to meat, rice, and bread as a main course, to coffee and nuts for after dinner. Well-known Detroit-area community leader Ed Deeb, that's D-E-E-B, a proud Arab American, wrote the introduction for the Yalla Eat Eastern Market Tour. And in 1972, Deeb founded the Eastern Market Merchants Association to help vendors get more recognition from the city of Detroit. Tours run approximately 2 hours and 30 minutes. Comfortable walking shoes are required. Opportunities to shop are offered at most stops. Tours begin and end at Jermak Coffee Roasting Company, Roastery and Espresso Bar, 2517 Russell Street in Detroit. Okay. So this is a little different than last year, which is why I wanted to bring it up. Because this tour is not of Warren. Okay. This tour is Eastern Market, which everybody knows is a big market in Detroit on weekends. But this tour is also on Tuesdays, as well as May 30th to June 13th. And as I said, they do start at the Jermak Coffee Roasting Company, Roastery and Espresso Bar, 2517 Russell Street in Detroit. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you can purchase Yalla Eat Eastern Market tickets in advance only online at arabamericanmuseum.org/YallaEat. That's YallaEat. Now, in terms of Dearborn, a Yalla Eat culinary map of Dearborn, they have a map available. It introduces the concept of food as a bridge to new cultures and delivers a brief history of Arab American food-based businesses in Dearborn. The map features a selection of established grocery stores, bakeries and sweet shops, meat and produce markets, coffee, spice and nut sellers, restaurants and cafes, and other food-related businesses operated by Arab Americans in Dearborn. Now, that map is available free of charge. Just go into the Arab American National Museum, during regular business hours and ask at the desk, and they'll give you one. Okay. By the way, that other tour, the Yalla Eat guided walking tours around the Eastern Market in Detroit, prices are $20, $15 if you're a museum member, and include everything, including even a tote bag, and that culinary map of Dearborn, too, and generous food samplings along the way. So, for example, tomorrow, well, they might be sold out. That's why you got to go to the website and find out if tickets are still available. 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, May 30th, and then 1 to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, June 2nd, next week. 10 a.m. to noon Saturday, June 6th. So it looks like the Saturdays, including June 13th, are 10 a.m. to noon, and the Tuesdays are from 1 to 3 p.m. That website for tickets to the Yalla Eat Eastern Market Culinary Walking Tour is arabamericanmuseum.org/YallaEat. Mmm, must be lunchtime. Extremely hungry, yes. But I've got my buddy's pizza waiting for me afterwards. Am I making you hungry too? Sorry about that. By the way, my name is Jay Koronick. I'm station advisor here at WHFR-FM. Proud to be with you today. Our news director, John Conroy, is down helping out with the Gros Eel big festival going on 3 days at the Gros Eel Museum, no, airport. Okay, and they have all kinds of activities, including, he promises, free helicopter rides. That's what he said last week, as well as now apparently free rides in a tethered balloon. So you won't just float around because it's tethered. There's a rope that holds it down, you know, but and all kinds of other activities for and food and entertainment. And it's going to start a little later this afternoon. I'm not sure exactly what time, at least by 3 o'clock, I would suspect. And it's at Gros Eel Airport today, pretty much all day tomorrow, and all day Sunday. So you might want to check that out for something different to do. I know there's Spirit Fest. There's these festivals all around town all summer long. But this one in Gros Eel looks like it's going to be really big. Oh, if you want to... of course, send us opinions, ideas. Just use the email for our station, which is whfr@hfcc. Still got that second C in the email address and the website, .edu. whfr@hfcc.edu. And the subject heading, put something about the WHFR Journal, and I'll get the message within a day or two. For example, I did get a comment last week from one of our regular listeners about the train day that was canceled here in Dearborn last Saturday. I don't know that it's been rescheduled yet. Haven't seen anything about that. But our listener responded that in an email from Amtrak that was out there. They said it's in some sort of a moment of reflection or sadness or whatever for the deaths in the Philadelphia area. Train accident, and I'm sure it would have been difficult for public relations for them, because if there were extra people there at the station talking about that, then a lot of people might have brought this up. Well, why was there an accident? How do you prevent those things? Can you guarantee me your train's not going to crash when I go to Chicago? I mean, those are all kind of specious questions. Things can happen anywhere. Riding on trains, folks, is extremely safe. I'm a big advocate, all in favor of that. I think we got to have more and better nationalized trains. Mm-hmm. Just like we've got to support our post office, which the government, no thanks to the Congress currently, is killing. And there's no good reason for that. Well, there's a lot of good programs that are being killed for no good reason that the federal government obviously does the best. But right now, those programs aren't doing too good because the government funding has been cut and cut and cut and cut. And there's a new book out, by the way, on infrastructure in this country. That's right. Pretty much highways, railroads, that's the main focus, but other things. And it's a great new book, and it's called MOVE. Easy to remember that title, Move. It's very hard to move in America. That means move your body around. Either, you know, and they pointed out that the average person who drives to work in an urban area spends a week, well, almost 38 hours on average, stuck in traffic. That is going nowhere. And that's a total waste of time and energy because the cars are idling because they're gasoline cars. Electric cars, it's great if they're stopped. There's no environmental problem whatsoever. And guess what? The batteries are not being run down either. Unless, you, of course, you got air conditioning on full or something like that. Although a couple cars, I believe the Nissan Leaf has an option of a solar-powered roof that would help the air conditioning. So there's still a drain on the basic batteries in the car if you're stopped, but not quite so much if it's a sunny day out, for example. And that's when you'd have the air conditioning on more, I would guess, if you really wanted it on. So, train day will be rescheduled. I looked at the train station last week, and I think it's because they were so busy. So many people seem to be taking the train right from our Dearborn station, the John D. Dingell Intermodal Depot, there's no way that extra people could come in and browse and comfortably talk to train officials because so many people have got their bags and they're waiting for the next train. They're coming off a train. So I personally think they forgot it was Memorial Day weekend, and no disrespect to them. It's done on different weekends, as I said, around the country. But we are sorry, of course, that there was any deaths, but certainly not typical, at all with trains that, certainly the odds are, let's say, clearly in your favor on trains. In fact, one of the most dangerous modes of transportation is automobiles. Yeah. Okay? So be careful out there, especially when you're driving. Say, oh, everybody has a little fender bender. I'm talking about people getting terribly injured and dying. That's 50,000 deaths a year. The deaths. 50,000 deaths a year. Many more get hurt horribly for that. The City of Dearborn Police Department has a smashed up car, as they do almost every summer, sitting next to Michigan Avenue in front of their police department building in Dearborn here. And of course, the sign is use a seatbelt, you know. Although the car they picked this time, it's the right passenger side that is totally smashed in. Okay, it wasn't an accident that hit the car from the front or the back. So I'm thinking, well, a seatbelt wouldn't have helped you there. Okay, that person, the right passenger, if they had a seatbelt on, they would have been crushed to bits anyway. The problem was, you know, the car was coming very fast. The car that was hit didn't have the proper big, strong metal beams in the door areas. There's still some cars, even made brand new today, that don't have much reinforcement of the doors on the sides. And so passengers hit from the left or the right side, even with a seatbelt on, they're not going to do so well. Now, the one thing that can certainly help you is side airbags. Okay? In many cars, it's an option. I would highly recommend it if you're buying a new car or even a used car. Ask if they have side airbags on it. It's worth the extra safety because in this kind of crash that of the car that they have sitting there, the seatbelts wouldn't be that big a deal, I don't think, at least not for that passenger on that side. But the airbag could have buffered the impact, I think, somewhat. There's no ultimate safety, of course, and cars are very dangerous, so drive carefully. Okay. Moving on, and this is the new WHFR Journal for Friday, May 29th, 2015. I'm Jay Koronek, happy to be with you. And let's see, news from the Dearborn Times-Herald from this week. Adobe Hotel gets a familiar and a new name. Yep. Remember what it was first called? Hyatt Regency Dearborn. That's right. If you remember the good old days. When did it open? The 60s? Anyway, it was great. I didn't realize before. I knew it was big, but it is the second largest hotel in all of Michigan. 772 rooms. Think about that one just for a second. 772 rooms. That's an awful lot to clean and dust and vacuum every day. Not to mention making beds. How many people do you think it takes to do that? Just the upkeep. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, it's, I think, a great deal. But I guess there just hasn't been a lot of people staying there through the years. Finally, oh, the hotel was built in 76. That's a spirit. 1976. And in 2007, Ashford Hospitality Trust paid $40 million for the hotel. And then just 4 years later, Royal Realties purchased the hotel for $10 million. And then they weren't even paying taxes on it, which forced the issue for the city of Dearborn. And then it had to be sold, and new management had to come in, and so on and so forth. Well, now we're getting to the punchline. It is now going to be called Regency Dearborn. Okay. Regency Dearborn. Mm-hmm. And, well, the question about the staff is more than 200 people work there. And they have 63,000 square feet of banquet space. Multi-purpose banquet space, by the way. And, yeah, I've been to a few conventions then in past years, but nothing that I've heard about and gotten to. I know there's been a couple of interesting, like Comic-Con things, you know, fan conventions there. But I never found out about them until after they were over, which is unfortunate. That's when they were Adoba. Anyway, they're now Regency Dearborn, sort of taking you back to the first name where they were the Hyatt Regency. So they're not the Hyatt anymore, but Regency Dearborn. Have to go over and check it out. There was always sort of a mid-level cafe there, and I'm not sure it's continuing. I think for a while they closed that, and they just had the one, the Guido restaurant, or Guido restaurant, if you're thinking of our mayor. So I have to check out and see what's there. But that's the new name. Wish them good luck filling those 772 rooms. Tell your family and friends to rent out a banquet space or something. Oh, by the way, that car that smashed so badly in from the right side is on the front page of the Dearborn Times Herald this week. So you can judge for yourself whether or not a seatbelt would have helped those people. I don't think that particular case is a good example. Okay. Also in the Times Herald, Livingston Press and Livingston Daily Press and Argus are providing the editorial this week. And it's the story I think you've heard everywhere now, including Craig Foran of the Press and Guide. Nothing has happened in terms of fixing the roads. Our lawmakers are back to work. Oh, they had to take a week off for the Tulip Festival or something. Republicans voted for a week off for themselves. They just get there, just get back. And they got to have a week off for the Tulip Festival. So who knows what's going to happen in terms of fixing the roads. But here's the editorial. Lawmakers last week went right back to the fiction that the money needed for roads is already in the state budget. We've been hearing that out of Lansing for 10 years. So we have to ask, if the money's already there, why aren't the roads fixed? Governor Rick Snyder, a guy with substantial financial skills of his own, after all, he has run major corporations and quickly whipped the state budget into shape when he first took office, concluded in 2013 that the money isn't there. He called then for an increase in gas taxes and vehicle registration fees, which I heard him say on air on WDET from the Mackinac Conference that's going on in, up there on Mackinac Island right now. Heard him say yesterday, that's it. That was his original plan. That's his best idea right now. Raise the gas taxes and raise the vehicle registration fees. And get at least $1.2 billion. Actually, that's what he first asked for. Now everybody is saying the roads are in worse shape. The bridges are in worse shape. The repairs are going to cost more. It's going to be $1.8 billion we need every year for 10 years. And remember, the gas taxes aren't going to hold up as people are getting cars every year that are getting better gas mileage. And some people are getting cars that get an awful lot better gas mileage. I mean, I went from a car 2 years ago that was getting 19 miles to a gallon around the city to one that now gets 27, almost 28 miles to a gallon around the city, and a lot more on the highway. So everybody's doing that, and a few people are getting those hybrids and those electric-only cars, and I wish electric cars had a little bit more range. I would get one in an instant. I've driven several of them already. Love them. I don't like any of the plug-in hybrids currently. I'm a driving kind of guy, you know. I like good handling, a little bit of performance, but basically good handling, good stopping. And I haven't seen a hybrid that meets my my, you might say, sports car criteria. Not muscle car criteria. I'm not into muscle cars, okay, for straight line performance and burning rubber and all that. But I want really good handling. I want to keep control. I want to brake as fast as possible. But, you know, straight performance is important too. If you got to get out of an emergency situation on the road, sometimes the only answer is to go faster. A little brief burst of speed by hitting the pedal. Now, again, there's several electric cars out there that are just really fun to drive, and they make total sense, and I would do it. But in my head, on a full charge, I want to be able to get to and back from Ann Arbor. Okay? I don't know why. I could have said Lansing. That's 90 miles, but each way it's 180. That's about what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a car that has, an electric car that has about 200 miles on a charge. That's what I would like to get, with the good handling, of course. So a couple of years, maybe. But the point is that they can raise the gas taxes, and you're going to, with those more efficient cars, you're going to pay less and less in gas. So there has to be another way to fund the repair of the roads ongoing, because in about 10 years, that gas tax will mean almost nothing towards really helping the roads out. And you can't just keep adding cost to vehicle registration once a year to get your license, your license plate. That's when you had to pay for the registration fees. And that's just going to be outrageous, you know, if you had to pay instead of a gas tax. So probably going to have to take it out of income tax, which was, that was the last proposal that was voted down. But of course, it wasn't just going to go for fixing the roads and the bridges. No, it was also going to go to several other things. Although each one of those individual things, I don't see how anybody could be against those other individual things, like education and so on. But it was very confusing, and people just wanted to get the one number one numero uno job done, okay? And I think if the income tax, every penny of that extra penny on every purchase, on every dollar purchase, if it would have only gone to the roads and the bridges, it would have been passed. That's what I think. I really think, even though nobody likes to pay more in taxes, and maybe a third or even maybe 40% of those voting would have still said no because they didn't want to pay more income tax. I mean, sales tax in Michigan, that extra 1% would have been sales tax. But I think it would have passed. I personally think it would have passed. Because that would have taken care of the roads and the highways that Michigan used to be so famous for. Oh, well. What's the legislature going to do right now? Well, it looks like nothing. Because all that they've suggested, one proposal I mentioned from Kevin Cotter, Republican of Mount Pleasant, a couple weeks ago, even the Detroit Free Press said, that plan is crazy. And he called it prioritization. The plan focuses on using existing dollars and reprioritizing restricted funds, like the Michigan Economic Development money, which is supporting new businesses and industries coming into Michigan. In his strongest statement perhaps ever, Governor Snyder. Anyway, he said, I mean, when you think of strong statements, you wouldn't think of Governor Snyder, but he got very mad when this came up, and he specifically said in a speech, I think it was at the Mackinac Conference or maybe earlier this week. Again, this is just the wrong thing to do. You don't play games with the development money. It's either there and then it's not there. It goes up, it goes down. Sort of like the film support subsidy, as I've said. It can't be there and then go away and then go away, because people plan these things like moving your business to Michigan or making a film in Michigan years in advance. And they can't just all of a sudden change their mind and do it or not do it. Okay, it's very bad if things are shifting. So we either stay committed to a certain track for quite a while, and it's not long enough for the film commission, but I don't think it's funded enough to do anything at this point. That's one of the ways, cut out, I think it's $20 million or whatever, not very much, from film support. And, well, it's not going to come out to $1.8 billion a year, first of all, Mr. Cotter, okay? The governor is totally against all these proposals, okay? So, anyway, the editorial concludes this. Snyder said then it had the highest correlation between road use and paying for the roads. That is the plan that was voted down. He says, if you use the roads more, you pay more for their upkeep. If you want to save money, drive less. Of course, if you don't have a good metro transit system and you don't have a bicycle and there's no bike lanes that have been built into the side of the highways, which would take government money to do, you're in a problem situation. You're very definitely messed up. So I don't totally agree. If you want to save some money, drive less. If you can afford a big condo in the middle of the city, and I was looking at some in Traverse City. I thought, well, Traverse City, nice place maybe. And if I get a condo there downtown, so I wouldn't need a car, that'd be great to walk around all the restaurants, a movie theater there, and bookstores. And okay. They start at about $3,000. A month for a downtown, downtown apartment starts about $2,000, but they start about $300,000, and they go up to $400,000, $500,000, and $600,000 for a small, and I'm telling you, very small condo in downtown Traverse City, okay, which is a great place to be, okay, without a car. Downtown Detroit, not so sure it's a great place to be without a car, and that's the way that goes. By the way, I have many friends in Austin, Texas, and I know they're very wet. Some of them have been flooded out. Not my friends. Most of my friends live north of the city. So, and most of the downtown area is pretty much okay, although it's interesting that Whole Foods, they have their headquarters there in the northern part of the city of Austin. And they're getting a little flooding in their basement levels, I understand. But they've got a contingency plan. They got a lot of other stores they could move their headquarters to if they had to. But I'm just saying, downtown Austin, except for the flooding and the fact that they had 90 straight days of temperatures over 100 degrees last summer. Yep, and they were suffering of a drought from a drought for 4 years in that area, and then they have a flood, of course. So, but their downtown condos started around $300,000 too. And you'd be lucky to get a very big one, maybe 500 square feet for $300,000 in downtown Austin. That's similar to pricing of condos, desirable condos in New York City and other great cities where you don't need a car. So my point is, Governor Snyder, yeah, find me a city where you don't need a car and you don't have to buy a condo that's 500 square feet for $300,000. Just go ahead. A desirable city. That's not possible. So there are a few contradictions in Governor Snyder's statements. I do basically agree in user fees, but because the gas tax is not usable into the future, in 5 years we'll be, we won't be raising enough money from a gas tax. We've got to go to something else, maybe now. And the increase in sales tax wasn't necessarily a bad idea. Oh, well. But our legislatures keep saying, we'll get it out of the money we have now. And there really isn't any. Okay. Looking more at the news of the day. Oh, my goodness, how time is flying here. It is about 22 minutes to 2 o'clock, and thank you for being with us. New WHFR Journal, WHFR.fm, station making waves here from Henry Ford College. Remember, we're non-commercial, independent, and all volunteer student and alumni staff, with the exception of yours truly and two others. Events coming up. The 29th Rouge Rescue is May 30th in southeastern Michigan here. That's tomorrow. And they might say, well, what part of the Rouge? I don't live like in River Rouge. Well, it's all over. Okay, there's work sites all over. You should go to the Friends of the Rouge website, which is the Rouge, R-O-U-G-E, therouge.org. Okay, therouge.org. Click on Rouge Rescue there to learn more and find a nearby work site. I'll just write down a few. Beverly Hills, Michigan. Yes, we have one of those. The Douglas Evans Nature Preserve. Canton Township. Go to the Lower Rouge Recreational Trail. Also in Canton Township, the Meadows of Canton. Another one in Canton, Workman Elementary Habitat. In Dearborn, Ford Field Gateway Trail. Henry Ford College, yeah, we're doing one on the west side of our campus. Henry Ford Estate, also, right here in Dearborn. Also in Dearborn, University of Michigan, Dearborn, which, by the way, is where the Friends of the Rouge have a free office. Well, at least I hope it's free, but they have an office that has been given to them by the University of Michigan, Dearborn, in one of the buildings. So full-time, they've got a nice little office there, and there's even a little sign up outside. I don't know what their hours are, but, you know, just check out their website, therouge.org. If you're out in Dearborn Heights, and I know you are, Parkland Park is the place to go. Detroit, Eliza Howell Park. Detroit, Rouge Park. Detroit, Rouge Valley Parkway. Also in Detroit, St. Paul of the Cross Retreat Center. Way out in Farmington Hills, the Botsford Commons Senior Community is one location. Also, Heritage Park in Farmington Hills. And in Farmington Hills, Oakland Community College Orchard Ridge Campus is having their connection to that. See, the Rouge River goes a lot of places, a lot of little tributaries and streams that connect. And there's many, many more sites. Livonia, Northville, Plymouth, Plymouth Township, Redford Township, Southfield, three in Southfield, Superior Township, and also, not forgetting the city of Wayne, Goody Park, or Goody Park? G-O-U-D-Y Park in Wayne. So, now, everybody can participate, okay, but certainly, what are you going to do? Well, it's not just cleanup. It's also a family-friendly educational and stewardship event that brings out nearly 2,000 people a year. Variety of activities from planting native plants, removing invasive plants, like the dreaded garlic mustard, which is here at Henry Ford College in U of M Dearborn. A major attack on garlic mustard is going to happen tomorrow. Trail maintenance, birdhouse building, trash cleanup, and managing large woody debris in the river to improve the Rouge River's health. Now, of course, some of these activities, you can check out the website, because you might need to wear wading boots. Because you really want to get into deep water, then you're going to need the right clothing for that. Certainly having gloves of your own, good sturdy gloves. If you're going to be out in the sun for this period of time, then by all means, wear protective clothing. Also, in some of these areas around water, whoa, look out. The mosquitoes are out again here in Michigan, and they are vicious. So you want a phone number, you say? You got to have a phone number to call because you don't have a computer, a connection. I remember that if you do, the website is therouge.org. But if you want a phone number, easy to remember, 313-792-9900. 313-792-9900. Rouge Rescue, very important. That's something that we need to do ourselves because government obviously is not doing it. And maybe it can't. I don't know. But, you know, taking care of the environment, that's all of our jobs. However, whether it's through paying money to somebody else or getting in there ourselves. Free shredding. Oh, boy. That's a big deal. In Dearborn, once a year, you say you finish those taxes finally. Well, I hope you did before April 15th. But in any event, you know, it's not, they don't recommend, no one recommends, for the sake of privacy, too, having those documents laying around the house. So I know tax documents should be saved, I think, for 7 years. But if you have old, like, credit card bills that have nothing to do with your taxes, you know, there's nothing that you deducted that's on those bills, then by all means, you can bring them over tomorrow from 8 a.m. to noon, just in the morning, 8 a.m. to noon, at the DPW yard. That's Department of Public Works of Dearborn. That's at 2951 Greenfield Road. Proof of residency is required, though, a limit per person of 5 office-sized boxes of personal paper and a maximum weight of 50 pounds. I'm not sure if that's per box or, you know, paper is heavy. You know, a paper office box, that's got to be 20, 30 pounds. But I think they mean a maximum weight of more than 50 pounds a box. But paper is heavy. The DPW yard will not be open for any other services tomorrow, May 30th. And by the way, when you're there, you might consider adopting a pet right next door, the present home of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. Okay. Greenfield Road, south of, south of Michigan Avenue, south of Rotunda. And go under the I-94 overpass. And again, the DPW yard is the first drive up. And then just off from that, on the right also, the second building, big building down on the hill there, is the current home of the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter. You might want to consider adopting a pet or volunteering and help them out. It's an all-volunteer organization, except for a couple people they have to pay, sort of like WHFR here, the station you're listening to right now. We need all those volunteers, or we can't keep going. We can't do the stuff we need to do. Well, I'm just saying, you know, volunteer and adopt a pet from them. They're great people. They need to raise money throughout the year, just like WHFR does. Thank you very much if you made a generous pledge during our pledge drive back in April. And if you're just thinking like you've got an extra few dollars in your budget to contribute to the station that you're currently listening to, because we do things differently than any other station in the Detroit area, and you think that's a good idea, you can still go to our website, you know, whfr.fm, and make a donation. And our pledge incentives, as long as they're available, are still there on the website. And you can get a little thank you gift from us, too, if you need that. But the next way they're trying to raise money for the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, finally, they're getting into their major fundraising drive for their new facility. That's right. They hope to build a new building in the at the location that the city of Dearborn has given them. Of the former train station. The small little Amtrak station and its parking lot will be rebuilt, and that's going to be the new home of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. But they still have to raise, I think, about $5 million. Well, whatever it is, one of the campaigns to get your attention and to hear the story is a free breakfast. That's right. It's a Raise the Woof. Did you get that? Raise the Roof? That's the verbal pun here. But they call it Raise the Woof Community Breakfast. Wednesday, June 10th. Not too far away. It's a week from next Wednesday. From 8 to 9 in the morning. It's breakfast time, folks. Okay, and it's going to be at Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. I think you know where that is. Michigan Avenue. Okay. And it's going to tell the story about their efforts and how they've gotten to the point of building a new animal adoption and education center. And so there'll be comments from people involved in this, and they'll tell the full story about why it's important, why it needs to be done. And as I said, you don't have to pay any money. You can pledge your support for this project when you're there, but the breakfast is complimentary. Okay, and registration for it begins at 7:30. The program begins at 8 and will end at 9. And so anyone with a passion for animal welfare and a dedication to community change is welcome to show up. And you might say, should I RSVP? Should you let them know in advance? They say, yes, please. To ensure your spot, please RSVP prior to Friday, June 5th. And of course, how do you let them know? Well, you could call them, I think. And their website is probably DearbornAnimalShelter.org. But in case it isn't, you can call them at 313-943-2697. Again, you could use your search engine on your computer or smartphone or tablet for Dearborn Animal Shelter. Get to their website. You can RSVP for their Raise the Wolf Community Breakfast Wednesday, June 10th, 8 to 9 a.m. That sounds delicious. Okay, what else is in the stories here? Craig Ferrand story. And by the way, I was usually upset with the fact that Craig Ferrand, who's a great editorial writer, former editor of one of our local newspapers, his editorials, even though they were in the Dearborn Press and Guide, they never made it to the pressandguide.com website. And, you know, that's unfortunate. Very unfortunate. But as I've discovered, they are at timesherald.com. That's the, you might say, the parent company, the big cheese website of the Press and Guide. And so you can go and read his editorial opinions there. His current opinion is all about gerrymandering. Very interesting, always, and it's a somewhat long essay that he writes, which is not typical in newspapers, but it does really allow you to think about the topic and to, you know, try to figure out your own position on the issues. He talks about gerrymandering, and apparently it was named for a historical figure back in the 19th century, whose last name was Jerry, spelled with a G, G-E-R-R-Y, and he divided up districts. Why? Because he could, in order to favor his political party. And so somebody in those days said it looked like a salamander, which sort of twists and curves all around, very flexible type of lizard-like, you know, creature. And so gerrymandering, salamander, Jerry, salamander, gerrymandering, that's how that came about, that name. And, of course, it's still done today. We've got to do something to stop it. So how do you stop it? The people that gerrymander, which is the legislature of each state, they love it. Oh, they won't say they love it, but they love it because it keeps them in power. Right now, a majority of votes cast in the last major election, last November here in Michigan, were for Democrats. You get that? They were for Democrats. There's more voters who are voting Democrat in the whole state of Michigan than Republicans. But because of gerrymandering, Republicans get a majority of victories. So don't tell me that democracy is happening in Michigan in terms of our representative democracy. It's not happening. It's not because of gerrymandering. And you say, well, the next party, when they get in office, how can they get in office when it's so, and it's gerrymandered not by just a couple people in the back room just trying to think about it and say, well, we'll just look at this area or that area. And they're using computers, really smart computers, to draw the lines now. So They've maximized every possible vote in every area by drawing the lines to make sure that the Republicans have a majority, if only slight, in every one of these districts or majority of districts. Sure, a few. Oh, let's draw it so like 90% are Democrats and just get rid of them from any other district. So those few districts keep electing Democrats all the time. They're guaranteed to be going Democrat. But all the other districts, slight majority Republican, and even though there's a majority of Democrat Party voters in the state of Michigan, doesn't matter. Republicans get the majority. So, yeah, Democrats, if they were in office, they would be doing it their own way, and it would give them an even bigger majority than what they deserve in terms of voters in Michigan. But there are ways to get around that, okay? We can set up bodies that are independent and nonpartisan. It is possible. Jocelyn Benson, who is now the head of the law school at Wayne State University, she's part of organizations. She knows how to do it. Okay? Yes, she's a former Democrat. Yes, I know she ran for attorney general, almost won, except for gerrymandering. It gave the win to the Republican. Nonetheless, she's smart. She's written books on this. She and the group that she formed knows how to take care of this. Would it require a petition drive? Yes, probably. Yes. I think we're going to have a lot more petition drives in Michigan. And it's going to be hard to get it on the ballot. But our legislatures will never do it. Legislators will never do it. Okay, because they like gerrymandering. It's why they have that position in Lansing. You say, well, it's only like for two terms and they got to leave. Right, they're term limited. That should be eliminated too, but that's another story. Let's just talk about gerrymandering here, and let's try to do something about it. If anybody gets a petition together, we have to go for it. Okay, that's the only way to get democracy back in Michigan is to do that. You might say, well, you know, but those majority Democrats, they voted for Snyder for governor across the whole state. He was in none of these gerrymandered districts. I know. Congratulations, Governor Snyder. You convinced a majority of people, to vote for you. And those people basically voted Democratic in all the other races. Well, that's Michigan for you. We've done that many years. Everybody knows we have a majority of people who most of the time will vote Democrat. But for governor, we kind of like those middle-of-the-road, semi-liberal, or semi-conservative, depending how you look at it, Republicans. And so, Snyder, well, you get what you voted for, you know, and that's, I have nothing to say that was undemocratic about his election. Other than, of course, a third of the registered voters in Michigan didn't even vote. So other than that, can't be very democratic if people are not voting, because who knows who they might have voted for if they did vote. But yes, it's their right not to vote in a democracy. And what effect does that have? It's not neutral, folks, but let's not go into that. Well, moving right along, it's only 3 minutes to go before Highway 61 and Joanne Korchinska gets here for the Best in Blues for 4 hours. So let me run down some more events here. From the internet, the Yerevan Symphony Orchestra has come up with a wild and crazy a barbecue. Mm-hmm. And apparently it's a little gambling that's going to go on. There it is. Too many stories here. All the news that fits, they say. Well, there's too much news to fit. They're calling the event the Urban Cowboy Millionaires Barbecue. It's trying to raise money for the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, because they need it too, just like the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, just like WHFR. And, wow, this is going to happen on Friday, June 26th. And it's a Urban Cowboy Millionaires Barbecue. They're serving bourbon on the rocks, Texas steer, and the two-step. grilling strip steaks, drinking, dancing, and having fun. There'll be instruction in dancing to Western music. There's also a silent auction. And golf for four is one of the prizes at the silent auction, and so on. The least expensive reservation per person is $175 per person. Yep. But again, remember, those symphony concerts cost $25,000 an evening to put on. And they have to raise money somehow. And so for those who are well-to-do and you want to spend a wild and crazy evening playing Urban Cowboy at the Millionaire's Barbecue, Friday, June 22nd, 23rd, at the Dearborn Country Club. Yep. So you can go to their website, which is dearbornsymphony.org, find out more about their Urban Cowboy event, if you have the money to do so. Okay. City of Dearborn has a Lock It or Lose It program. When Dearborn Police Chief Ron Haddad came to this show a couple weeks ago, you can listen to it on our podcast, of course, at whfr.fm. Click on Talk Shows. Click on WHFR Journal, and you'll see it there a couple weeks ago. It seems that every year, more than 700 thefts occur from vehicles. Over 75% of those thefts were from unlocked cars. Now, that's pretty stupid, folks, is to take your car out or even leave it in front of your house unlocked. It's just an invitation, and somebody's going to take it when you least expect it. So you can't let that happen. Don't encourage theft. Okay. Never leave valuables there that are visible either, because maybe that'll be an encouragement to break the window with a brick or something and grab your purse or whatever you left in there. If you're going to leave like a purse or something like that, or a briefcase, it should be under a seat, out of sight, in a trunk, something like that. Okay, so that's the word from the Dearborn Police Department. By the way, there is a non-emergency tip line at the Dearborn Police Department. So if you see a suspicious person in the neighborhood, then you should call 313-943-3030. This is WHFR Dearborn. And our show is coming to a conclusion now, and Joanne is in the station, and Highway 61 will begin in just a moment. I wanted to mention in the last couple seconds, even though our podcast is probably cut off now, recording, but 5101 International Buffet started yesterday, May 28th, and they're continuing Thursdays from now on for five more weeks.